Grace and peace to each of you this fourth Sunday of Easter, the Good Shepherd Sunday. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this day.
Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd.
God, help us to hear the Shepherd's voice and follow him.
Refuse to listen to the hireling or the wolf.
Hirelings don't care and wolves snatch and scatter.
Refuse to follow bandits and thieves.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give us an abundant life.
Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd.
Today we turn our hearts and our attention to the Good Shepherd who loves us and knows each of us by name.
Let us pray. God of forgiveness, we're so preoccupied with counting sheep that we forget how much we need a shepherd. We're so occupied with numbers and statistics that we forget to leave the counting to you. You already know the sum of the hairs on the very heads that you have anointed. You know our days, our challenges, our successes, and our needs. Today we confess that our greatest need is for a shepherd. For you, and the lesson we have yet to learn is how to be your followers. Amen. God loves you madly. God knows you have gone astray and have made mistakes, yet God loves you exactly the way you are. God is calling you back to the path. Listen for your name. Listen for God's call. Listen, learn, and love, for God has loved you into being, and God will love you into abundant life. Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Now, the gospel reading for this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run for him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used his figure speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us now pray. God of life, God of hope, God of healing, we confess to you that we have many hidden wounds, scars that run deep. And you know how good we have become at telling others that we're fine, even when we're not. We have learned to say that everything is okay with us, even when it is not. And thus, we do not know the pain of each other, and we're hesitant to share it with one another. Call us to be deep listeners. Help us to understand how to be present, truly present when those around us are going through difficulties and challenges, especially during these times, how we might best listen to them. Help us in our own journey of healing to recognize our own pain and hurt, to seek help when needed, to know that though we may be broken, we can experience healing and wholeness because of what you have done for us. Help us to heal each other through the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was broken for us, yet who lives again, scars and all, our Savior who lives for each of us. And so we pray with hope, and we pray with confidence, knowing that you understand and hear the longings of our hearts, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Romy. You know, there are times, I have to say, in the last 7 weeks, at least, I don't know if it's been 7 weeks or 17, where I wonder what a person or a group of people were thinking. Haven't you? Today, I'm very much an optimistic person who places great faith and trust in people as a whole. So much so that now I see where I wonder if I'm living into naivety. I used to be much more grounded back in the day with a more realistic expectation of people, that the majority of people are not going to do what the right thing is or what is expected of them without having to be told specifically to do so. When I worked at Bobcat of Myrtle Beach, it was the peak of the building boom in 2006 and 2007. Condo construction had ballooned in the previous years, and working the front desk at the Bobcat dealer, I learned that there were two main types of home builders in Myrtle Beach. Those who were reputable and had work lined up 3 months or more in advance, and those who left something to be desired in decorum and only had work lined up from one job to the next. Folks who fell into the previously mentioned group were customers like Mr. Brown. I grew up with his kids and youth group, who when his machine went down, he would call up and was just as cheerful and glass half full kind of guy as could be. He never had a complaint, and instead of negatively criticizing, would always mention solutions instead of problems. There was also Noe, a 22-year-old Honduran who poured concrete foundations 24/7 during the peak of construction. He had a couple of old machines that needed lots of service, and he came in one day to upgrade, which is when we learned his age from the credit application. It's tough to get a loan through Bobcat at that age without proof of business income and expenses, so he brought some of his books in. Come to find out, he poured $1.2 million in concrete for homes each month. The salesman looked at me and said, Aren't you 22? Makes you feel good with your life choices, doesn't it, college boy? The last business day of every month, though, we'd see Noe's truck pull in around lunchtime, and he came in to settle his account in person. We kept telling him, We'll send a bill and you can mail a check in, but this was just how he is. Then, on the other end of the spectrum, are the Mr. Mullinaxes. He was a long-term renter of a T190 because he couldn't finance to buy a machine, and one day he asked why we were still billing him. Well, because you're still renting a machine. He says you picked it up a month ago and didn't tell me. Yeah, 'cause of course we didn't. Yeah, he was a piece of work. But the winner of them all, facetiously, was the customer who kept asking us to service his machine with no serial number on it. Ah, those two were the best customers we had. Cash-only customers. But I told you about those four customers to tell you this. At the top of Mount Utsiantha in Stamford, New York, there's a fire tower you can still climb. One day we drove to the top of the mountain after the road was repaired with my parents, and there was a little chain that was pulled across the bottom of the steps of the fire tower. Dad said, that's the type of thing that keeps honest people out. Something simple like a chain acting as a gate that I could actually step over was what was keeping me out. Mr. Brown and Noe would have been the type of people who would have respected the intent behind the chain, while Mr. Mullinax and the no serial number guy would have been the ones to step over it. It's not a perfect example, only describing two types of customers, because there are others scattered about on different areas of the spectrum. But we try to paint the world as yes or no, black or white, and do or do not, there is no try. And the point that Jesus is trying to make in regards to the sheepfold is that there are those who enter it properly through the gate or the entrance, and there are those that instead jump over the fence to loot and plunder and pillage those who are reliant on the shepherd's protection. Now, the imagery here is a shepherd watching over sheep relates to the kings, the emperors of the era, who see themselves as the great protectors of the people sheep. They are the ones who have amassed great nations and empires, often through violence, and held on to peace through sometimes sheer intimidation. The sheep looked to the ruler shepherds, because in that corral there wasn't enough green grass to be grazed upon, much like the food insecurity that was rampant in that time period and quite frankly has grown more drastically in the last 2 months here. The sheep rely on the emperor to take them out to pasture each day so they can fill their bellies, knowing that shepherd is going to keep them safe from those who mean harm and ill will towards them, the looters and the thieves. And then there is that great safety behind the wall where the only way in or out is through the gate. Yeah, at least for honest folk. And the shepherds that came up to that gate, they would show up there and the sound of their voice calls their own sheep to come running. Inside the walls, there were often several flocks owned by different shepherds, and then each day they would take their own sheep out to graze and return in the evening for safety. Jesus doesn't let this fall by the wayside, but instead builds upon this imagery by referencing himself as the gate. For whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This alludes to the death and resurrection of Christ, where we have witnessed the fulfillment of the promise God made with each of us to give us new life. That Jesus was like no other who has come before, in the sense that he would lay down his life for the benefit of others, knowing what was about to happen to him. But inside of this secure border of the sheep pen, there is something profound, and I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. For when he has brought them all out, he goes out ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And if Jesus is that gate that leads to abundant pasture and safety and security, it seems as though Jesus' thinking does make space for others, not quite necessarily like us, for members of someone else's flock as well. It's like Jesus is subtly using inclusive language here, showing that he did not come to this world only for a select few, but instead that the world might be saved through him. For how befitting this message of Christ for us today is. Because how we live our lives and how we carry ourselves is an open display of our faith in God and who Christ is for us, and as well as who God is inside of us. And today we still turn to our leaders, the leaders in our lives that we know care for us, the leaders that look after our well-being, because that is absolutely what we need now more than ever. We turn to the people who are like the Mr. Browns and the Noes, who run their businesses with high morals and values. People whom we know carry integrity in what they do and what they say and how they lead. We turn to people who lead their flocks by their true and genuine example and virtue. We turn to the people who we know are looking after our well-being as well as the well-being of all others. Those are the voices that speak up at the gate. Those are the voices we hear and we respond to. And when we hear the messages of hope and of liberation that all God's children should be experiencing. But most of all this week, I'm thankful that within the bounds of Jesus's love, inside the safe and secure nature of a faith in God that is open to people of all ages, nations, and races. Some of us though are those types of people that others may be looking up to for guidance. You might be a small business owner, you might be a pastor, you might be an educator, office manager, shift supervisor, coach, or a parent. And I'm also willing to bet that each and every single one of us at one point in time or another in our lives have been, or at least we will be, someone that others look up to for guidance. And when these times arise, I hope and I pray that we can respond like the Mr. Browns and the Noes of the world, those people who lead with great integrity, those people who lead by perfect example. Because I hope and pray that at the end of each day, when we look back at our lives, that we will see where we each upheld the teachings of Christ in our lives through our words, through our thoughts, and through our actions, where we will have brought comfort to those who are in our care. Thanks be to God. Beloveds, in this Easter season, let us proclaim that Christ is risen, that Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look upon each of you with favor and give you peace. For we are a new creation in Christ, so let us now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Stay safe and be well, and until next time.